Hello and welcome to this podcast presented by WazirX and CNBCTV18.com. Today we are discussing whether NFTs are a bubble or are they going to last and in what form. There has been quite some speculation about NFTs lately, a concept that gained popularity online with digital copy transactions of quirky artworks and memes sold for millions of dollars. While the trend started with the transactions of JPEGs and artworks, NFTs has extended its functionality beyond the JPEG trend. Last year, a nonprofit, Noora Healthcare, created its Save Thousands of Lives NFT to raise funds for its work with new mothers in South Asia and managed to raise a $5.1 million for the cause. So let's find out why NFT is here to stay and what is the future hold beyond the JPEG trend. I'm joined by Sandesh Suvarna, who's Vice President, WazirX. Also joining us on the conversation is Shivam Chuneja, Head of Partnerships, Xeonverse and Tech, and he's a finance expert as well. Gentlemen, hi, thank you so much for joining us. Sandesh, this one is to you. You know, the past decade has seen world evolving and we talk to a lot of things which have gone digital right now. Help us understand on how NFTs fit into this digital pool. And as we are looking at a case-to-case basis now, how do you see NFTs into a problem-solving world?
Thanks, Manisha, for having me here. So that's an amazing question to start with, because we have seen the first of all, NFTs are seeing the bear market for the very first time. And we are still exploring ways to understand how exactly NFTs handle the bear market. But frankly, so far, what we have seen on the NFT ecosystem, many of the finest, the blue chip NFT projects are still intact in the sense the floor price, which we had seen it back then when it was trading in the bull market. So even now, the floor price are intact in the sense if we consider these NFTs, if we consider the floor price of the NFTs in Ether only, Ether or any of the cryptocurrencies, it is still intact. But if you look at any of the press or media right now, people are talking about it has dropped the value because they convert that price into the fiat currency. And when they do that, obviously they would see a drastic reduction in the trading volume because of the underlying cryptocurrency, because the cryptocurrencies have been fallen because of the bear market and even the entire market has gone down. But gladly, what we have seen so far is that the NFTs are still intact. So to answer the very first question, which is NFTs are bubble, not yet. So it's not, even in the bear market, it is doing really well. So talking about many of the use cases, I think even if we look closely, even Ukraine has raised funds using NFTs. So that's one of the use cases. And on top of that, there is one of the finest blue chip project, which is called as World of Women's. This is a very inclusive community to help the women or the all the industries that is related to women. So it's in a simple world, obviously, to empower women, and that's what is happening in the NFT ecosystem. So these are the only two NFT collections or the NFTs use case I can think up to. And Shivam, I think Shivam can help me with the few others if you know any other use cases, Shivam.
Shivam, that's a question directly coming to you then. What are the use cases you think are doing the best for within NFTs right now?
Yeah, of course. First of all, thanks a lot, Manisha, for having me here again. From a use case perspective, I think, of course, we have all seen that gaming and art have taken the lead. But if you look at the back end on private NFTs or the private NFT space, there's a lot of stuff that people are trying from a real estate perspective, from insurance perspective, as well as we are looking at supply chain security. And a collaboration of supply chain and NFTs to improve the security and the transparency of supply chains. There are some notable names involved, although they are kind of private NFTs and the stuff is being done on the private blockchain. But we might see those use cases, in my opinion, come up in the future for sure. But as of now, gaming and art definitely takes lead.
Oh, well, yes, and there's so much being done. So, would you say, Sandesh, that everything has a cycle of adoption, and we've seen that happen with NFTs as well. So while it's taken the digital world to come into being in last decade, NFTs is a much younger market. I mean, we saw much of those numbers actually happen in the last couple of years itself. What is your sense on people who bought it, the primary market, the secondary market, that is, and while we are in a bear market of sorts right now, but how has the market evolved overall?
It's evolved too fast, actually, technically, because if you look very closely, the entire market started out with that one NFT getting sold for $69 million. And this is when the entire crowd started understanding what NFTs are. And it completely evolved in the sense it started with art, and then people started looking out for NFTs that have utilities. Like if you look at even Bored Apes and all, these are technically, these are startups. Okay, these are not specific to arts. So people are building the major Web3 companies or Web3 startups are even before building a product. What are they currently do is that they roll out the NFTs first, and then they build the startup. So technically, NFT started for just artists. But right now, the major use cases have been shifted to startups or the product builders. But on top of that, what happened is that even brands saw that NFTs can create communities. So I usually say this, fungible tokens, which are like any cryptocurrencies that you can see, this fungible tokens creates liquidity, whereas NFTs create communities. So let's say a brand like Nike or a brand like Reebok, they got into, or a MasterCard, a brand like MasterCard, they got into NFTs because they saw a massive community of users who are believing either crypto or NFTs. And these communities were lacking access, product access, or the brand recognition of these brands. So what they did, they came and they dropped these NFTs. And for them, the NFTs became more like a brand awareness for a larger community, which was not even aware of these brands. Okay. So for them, it became a brand extension. So NFTs again became as a brand extension as well. And for few, like, as I said earlier, it became a fundraising mechanism for startups, and it's still getting evolved day by day. For example, there is one more use case right now, which is NFTs have become more like a subscription model for any of the apps that you use on Web3. Okay, so if you look closely, like for example, if I give an example of Netflix, you pay every month certain rupees to access the Netflix, right? So what on Web3, what people are doing right now is that instead of subscription, they're selling out NFTs as subscriptions. Okay, so if you want to access certain products, you need to buy their NFTs. So even that particular proposition has come out. It's still exploring. People are still exploring, as NFTs are still an asset, and any asset needs to have a proper supply and demand ecosystem underneath. So people are still exploring, and these are the few scenarios I can come up right now.
Oh, well, absolutely. And I did latch on to what you said, Sandesh, that NFTs have created communities and communities of believers into the market there. And yes, we've seen brands and celebs from all walks actually come in and join it in some sense or the other. But Shivam, you know, we've also witnessed some outrageous prices in NFTs, as Sandesh was pointing out. Bored Ape is one of those, and Yacht Club, and we've seen various other names crop up into the time there. How do you look at these numbers? I mean, are they here to stay, or do you think the markets will consolidate, even get into a fair price mode?
So we are always, or rather we have always seen a great demand or very, very high prices in the collectible section, be it the Web2 space, or now be it with NFTs. So stuff that is either the first or commands a lot of brand recognition from across the world. Bored Ape Yacht Club is one. CryptoPunks is another one. I do believe they are always going to see very, very high prices. Now, of course, as Sandesh mentioned, a lot of this actually happens in Ethereum, right? So a lot of it also, that means, is technically should not be tied to fiat. because the price is going to change. But if you look at the trading volume and the number of transactions, they haven't gone away, even in these tired markets. So I definitely believe that there's always going to be a very, very high value attached to highly collectible items. However, during bear markets, I also believe we are going to see a lot of cleansing. So a lot of projects which tried to copy the big names, right, they might end up vanishing, or the community might kind of understand and start moving away from them. And we are already seeing it. We are already looking at the markets, and we see a lot of projects which were not really a utility-based project right from the get-go. They are moving into some kind of utility, be it very simply be it entertainment for the people. We saw it with Other Side and a lot of other projects as well. So I do believe that utility-based NFTs are going to slowly start to take that market share away from these collectible NFTs. But of course, 100%, these prices, they are definitely going to be there.
All right. So Sandesh, your view on this as well. What do you think is on how we've seen NFTs evolve from a primary market to a secondary market? How are the resale values doing? Because we've seen that resale of the best of the NFTs also doesn't really get, mouth-watering prices most times.
Yeah. Manisha, see, as I said earlier, NFTs are an asset. So if you're creating any asset, it needs to have a proper supply and demand. And if you have to create a proper supply and demand, you need to have an utility. So to talk about two of the examples you asked, one is I think it was around Jack Dorsey, right? The Jack Dorsey's tweet, and the other one is Bored Ape Yacht Club. Okay. Let me talk about Bored Ape Yacht Club. So Bored Ape Yacht Club has a proper utility in the sense, if you're owning a Bored Ape, you get access to the metaverse that they're building. And on top of that, the entire IP of the Bored Ape is with you. So people have opened up restaurants using the Bored Ape's IP rights. Okay, so people are bringing in customers onto their restaurants just because of the Bored Ape name, because he has a branding and he was able to utilize the IP. So anyone would want to buy a Bored Ape because it has a proper supply and demand. Okay, so it has a utility. So any NFT assets which has a proper supply and demand economics attached to it, it is going to succeed. Okay, so that's one aspect on the first part of it. And talking about the second NFT, which is Jack Dorsey's NFT, which is getting sold for $2.9 million. So if I have to explain this, this is very complex to understand. Even for me, it is very complex, difficult to understand why it gets sold for $2.9 million. So it's the same question as why people buy Dogecoin or why people buy Shiba Inu coin. Okay, because people know that, but they do not even know what is the underlying value for that. So I believe that there is something called as perception as utility. Okay, so if I have to explain this in a simpler way, if we look very closely, the gold itself, gold as an ornament is a demand created by the gold maker to ensure that there is a supply in the market. So if you go and ask, like if I go and ask my mom, why do you wear gold? She doesn't have an answer because she says the neighbor auntie, she wears it, or my sister wears it. That's why I buy it. It has a price. I get it. But still, if they say that gold is rare because of that, it has a value. No, there are even more other items that are even more super rare. Okay. So if you look closely, even in the real world, perception itself has a utility. It can be brand, like many of them want Apple, many of them want McLaren car, why not Maruti car, right? So perception itself has a utility for many because it's a status. So Jack Dorsey's NFT, even I can't answer that particular question. He might be facing difficulties to sell it right now, but it had a perception as a utility back then, but he wasn't able to retain that. So many of the NFTs would work. Like if you look closely, even some of the paintings, these are just paintings where there is one single line people have drawn and it's getting sold for $1 million. Why? Nobody has the answer for that. right? So that's like, if I have to put it out, perception as a utility is one of the use case that people think of when they buy an NFT as well.
I get that, Sandesh. But, you know, when you look at gold, it has a standard price value across world, and the movement is reflected across. So when we look at NFTs, I get your point that there is this need to move beyond perception and thrill to a point as well. So Shivam, when you look at NFTs and when we talk about use cases, would you say that what has been talked about for some time, that it can be a token for a physical asset, it can be tokenization itself, and transactions such as real estate is something that it can be used in as well. As of now, and since we've been talking about it for some time, as of now, how much of use cases have we seen? What are you looking at beyond JPEG? What are you looking ahead in sense of NFT use cases?
Yeah, so I'll say a lot of the use cases that we've seen, they might revolve around specifically gaming, art, music, and I include music in within art. We've seen a couple of real estate transactions, but I do believe in the coming 5 to 7 years, maybe even 10 years, we will see more push towards utility or towards real world utility. So a lot of stuff around real estate, I think credential management is a very attractive space where NFTs could play a very, very important role in the coming future. Soulbound tokens is a great concept that is coming out, in my opinion, that I think can help with that. There's another example that Chainlink founder gave in one of his interviews about the insurance industry. So a lot of farmers in places where the average land holding size is 100 acres or plus, they could very well have an NFT, and they could pay, or their wallet would rather automatically pay premiums. And within that specific set of latitude and longitude points, at the end of the year, if it doesn't rain enough, because those farmers, they definitely rely on rains, they can't use machinery on such a large land size. If it doesn't rain enough, or it rains under a specific centimeter, the contract automatically executes their claim. So they don't even need to claim for an insurance against the crops, right? So I think stuff like that is real utility. And we are going to see more and more of these, along with, of course, artwork, gaming, because that's anyways taken the lead. So I think there are going to be a lot of use cases that we can't even think of. It's practically like the internet, right? So there's a lot of exciting stuff coming within NFTs. And I do believe that NFTs are those specific mediums where we can tie the physical realm with the digital realm pretty efficiently, as opposed to just a simple, just a crypto token that is maybe attached to some specific project.
Oh, absolutely. That is very well said. And Sandesh, you know, the other day I was reading in detail about on how until now it has all been about static NFTs that we've been looking at, and dynamic NFTs have made in an foray as well. And that seems to be picking up so fast.
Yes, Manisha, this dynamic NFTs, there are several very popular dynamic NFTs. I think Artblocks is one of them. And on top of that, there are several NFTs that are properly on-chain. Like, I think they evolve day by day. For example, if you might have heard of Moonbirds, so these NFTs evolve. Like, there is something called as nesting. So these are all birds, and it nests every single day. And you can keep it for nesting, or else you can keep it freely, free, need not to be nesting. But it keeps on nesting every single day, and it unlocks even more rewards if you keep on nesting it. So there are so many interesting concepts are coming in. So technically, NFTs have become a playground for all these creative people, because it's a merge of creativity and technology. So that's the beauty of NFTs. And that's why it is shaping up in so many different ways right now, because of the creativity aspect of it.
Oh, well, absolutely. The other one that I was reading, Sandesh, was on how it keeps getting updated as well in dynamic NFTs. It's not just a card that is as it has been, but every time a new record is created, the dynamic NFT actually updates it as well. So as you said, yes, it's ever evolving and there is so much potential waiting to be unblocked there. But gentlemen, let me come to both of you and get your final question in. And Sandesh, why don't you answer this first? So while we do understand that the smart contracts is gaining a lot of attention, what's your sense on how the NFTs have a role to play with that? What are the advantages? What do the population as a whole watch out for when they're looking at this sector?
So smart contract, see, if I have to, people have a fair understanding about what smart contract is. So if I have to explain what is a smart contract, let's say if I want to buy a house, I search for an agent. Okay, and I tell the agent that I want to buy a house. So he asks me what all your requirements, and he gets that requirements and he goes out and he searches for a house seller, and he gets that house from the other person, and he gets the contract signed, and he'll come and ask me to pay the money. I give him the money, and now this guy, the agent, transfers that money to the agent, so to the house owner. And this house owner has now transferred the money to the agent, and agent comes and gives it to me. Okay. So this is how exactly it works in the real world. Now, if you have to do this in the virtual world, the agent, which was helping me execute all this set of rules, right? Like get the money or search for an house or get the agreement. Okay. These are all set of rules. Okay. These are all set of rules. So this agent, the entire task, what agent is doing is technically called a smart contract. It's a set of rules. Okay. So we are removing that agent. We are removing that agent from the ecosystem because he charges more. So we take him out and we replace him with a smart contract. So these smart contracts are just a set of rules or set of agreements that needs to be executed without having an intermediary checker. So that's what the blockchain is, right? So smart contracts. So because of this, you can convert any day-to-day activities or day-to-day rules, regulations that is currently happening with the presence of an intermediary. Okay, you can do that. You can do that with the help of smart contracts, and that's the power. So whatever, if you try to look closely, you might be meeting intermediaries, or if you might be using many intermediaries in between to execute certain tasks. Okay, so now imagine this intermediary is getting replaced by smart contracts, and that's what is going to happen. So NFTs are one use cases. So people are, that's why NFTs have that power, because everyone are believing in the smart contracts.
Oh, well, yes, doing away with intermediaries and making it cost efficient is something that perhaps all businesses are looking forward to. Shivam, what would your final comment be on this? What are the advantages that you see coming in from smart contracts and the way NFTs could evolve going forward?
Yeah, so I 100% agree with Sandesh on this. There's a lot of efficiency-based systems that could be set up to either minimize the cost of having an intermediary or having to make systems more efficient or faster. A great example actually is how IBM helps out Home Depot use smart contracts, right, to resolve disputes with the vendors. That's something that I was just reading about as well. So it's pretty interesting to see that smart contracts, or rather it's going to be pretty interesting to see how smart contracts are going to be leveraged to make existing operations and systems of various enterprises much more efficient. And we've seen this within the food industry as well, by the way, where people were looking at what kind of ingredients are being used and what kind of touch points exist within the whole supply chain of the dairy industry, and trying to minimize the issues with that. So a lot of these smart contracts are definitely going to help us make things more efficient, reduce cost, probably also increase revenue for a lot of companies. Now, as Sandesh mentioned, NFTs are definitely, they are one type of a smart contract. Pretty much, I'll say more like a very simple smart contract. But we are definitely going to see much more complex systems come out. And I do believe they are going to first come out in private blockchains and through private systems. And then we'll see smaller projects like startups come out with these as well.
All right. So there is a world beyond the JPEG trend when it comes to NFTs and various use cases that are still waiting to be explored here. Gentlemen, thank you so much for talking to us. There's always so much to learn when we are having this conversation with you. Really appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Anisha.